When I used to teach politics, I still do, of course, but when I used to teach on a lot of students, we used to say the only way to get them out of their seats to vote would be with a bomb. You know, they talk a good game, say, how many are you going to vote? Everybody raises their hand. But in fact, they don't. I know Obama has been very aggressive about getting that vote out, talking to young people and talking about student loans and the rest of it. But do you think it's hopeless, Brad Hayes?
Hopeless to get the young out to vote in large numbers.
Yes.
I hate to sound too pessimistic, but yes, in large numbers, it's unlikely. I mean, it just simply doesn't happen. Even in the last election, where there was a lot of energy among the youth, they did not turn out in numbers comparable, say, to, you know, your 55 to 75 demographic. They just don't come out in the same percentages. So in that sense, our expectations need to be tempered. Does it mean, though, that the youth won't turn out at significant levels, right? Levels that may, in fact, make the difference in some of these states? Well, that remains to be seen. And I think that's one of the areas that we really see the Obama campaign in particular pushing on, energizing the youth and then making sure that they have the grassroots organization on the ground to turn them out on Election Day.
Well, let's go to people who of color. Let's go to people of Hispanic descent. Look, if every Democrat who identifies as a Democrat in this country voted, there would be no contest. There would just be no contest.
Right.
Republicans, my thesis always has been, those who have more tend to exercise the franchise in order to protect what they have. And therefore, the Republicans vote in greater numbers than Democrats do. So how do you get people of color? How do you get Hispanics out?
Well, I mean, I think that's where the Obama administration, or the Obama campaign, I guess I should say, has been better. And that's that return to grassroots movements, right? One of the things we know is that it makes a big difference if somebody knocks on your door on Election Day and says, have you voted, right? A person that is unlikely to vote, but although registered, you know, and has somebody knock on the door, is much more likely to vote than they would have been, even if they had received a phone call. Like,
sure.
Phone calls just don't have an impact in the way that somebody standing in front of you does and saying, hey, do you even need a ride to your voting station. So, I mean, that's the key, right? And you're going to see massive organizations by both campaigns in these battleground states to ensure that they can get as many people who are registered to their party to the voting stations. Because, you know, when we're talking about a percentage or two, you know, that can be either be expanded or overcome by high rates of turnout, right? Now, and if you can think back to the 2004 election, right, in Ohio, where both sides were so active in getting people out. And this is, you know, it's one of those things that helped guarantee Bush's reelection, were high rates of turnout in places like Ohio.
Now, you know how it works, of course. They call you in, and if you say you're for their candidate, then you get the knock on the door. They make sure of that. You know, apparently the Obama people are very good at this.
Yeah. And I mean, his, you know, we know his background is in
community organization.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, he really believes in boots on the ground. And, you know, I think in some ways the Democrats learn quite a bit from, you know, the 2004 elections, where had they had that kind of organization that now exists on the ground, they might have prevailed certainly in 2000, maybe even in 2004. So, you know, there's a real effort there to ensure that they don't make that mistake. And, you know, in that sense, there is an opportunity to get more people, particularly the youth, out to the ballot.
So, Brad Hayes, why is Bill Clinton so adored by the Democrats?
Well, it's that's a really good question. You know, if looking back at the 90s, right, it was a boom economic time. And I think
people had a lot of trouble. I did not have sex with that woman and all the rest of that stuff.
Yeah, but I think people remember good stuff more than bad stuff in, you know, especially if it's your person, right? And Democrats are looking for, you know, their version of Reagan, right? I mean, we see at all, you know, kind of Republican events, they just roll out Reagan as this icon for their party. And the Democrats didn't really have that person unless you're going way back, right? So Clinton in some ways has become that. And he is an absolutely, you know, fascinating speaker, right? He has the ability to take extraordinarily complex policy issues and make them very understandable. He also can speak to this huge room and make it feel like there are only 10 people in it, that he's having a conversation with you.
And he's also from the South.
And all of those things make him very influential, very in some ways powerful in terms of, you know, kind of resonating with the Democratic Party. And keeping in mind that he helped move the Democratic Party, right? He made it much more of a kind of a centrist party, right? He was the one who declared that the era of big government is over. And I think that resonates then with, you know, with moderates in the Democratic Party, but also independent voters, right? And so in many ways, that wheeling him out and showing him off and allowing him to campaign is highly effective for Democrats.
Do you see him as a stalking horse for Hillary?
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't. I mean, I take her at her word, but at the same time, you know, she is extremely popular in the party as well, right? The Clintons are popular people for Democrats, and so, you know, it'll be interesting to see if she decides to throw her hat back in the ring.
Now, one last question on everybody in New York State's lips is Andrew Cuomo. Mm-hmm. Now, he did an interesting thing. You know, he's been acting like a Republican here in New York State. He's allied with the Senate Republicans, anything but the Democrats. He gets down to talk to the delegation there. He doesn't get a primetime chance, but he gets up there and he rails against the Republicans. Does anybody ever pick up on the difference between what he does here and what he did there?
Different audiences in some ways.
What,
right?
Are we stupid?
Well, I mean, how many people in, you know, New Mexico are paying attention to...
That's a great question. I want to stop you right there because we're running out of time. Brad Hayes, there are a bunch of news people. Andrew Cuomo here is always thought to be running for president in 2016. Mm-hmm. A bunch of news people went around to the convention and asked about Andrew Cuomo and no one knew who he was. What's that about?
Well, I mean, it's hard to get a big profile. I mean, even in a big state. And that's one of the things that conventions are good for, is raising profile, right? You can think back to
Mario.
You can think to 2004 Obama, right? When he was a simple state senator. And one of the things that we saw in both conventions, right, is that Marco Rubio for the Republicans gave a fine speech and, you know, his star is particularly bright. And then Julian Castro, the mayor of San Antonio, gave an outstanding speech for the Democrats. And you know, now he's on the map, right?
And so now you have to look and see, okay, if our candidate loses this time, who's next up?
That's right. That's right. I mean, you always need a deep bench, right? Yeah. And conventions are good for people putting people on that bench, right? I mean, I think Cuomo is already on the bench, and people know that. There's more of a question of, you know, who are some of the minor players that may become major players.
Yeah, like Castro, for example.
Exactly.
Very interesting. Well, Brad Hayes, we always love to talk to you. Brad Hayes is assistant professor of political science at Union College, and our political scientist in residence. And we love having you here, Brad. We always learn something from you. And thanks so much for coming.
No, thank you.